Today's episode of Puck Soup is sponsored by Squarespace. You got some big plans in this beautiful new year, Dave Lozo?
Nope, nothing.
Do you have anything you want to sell? Anything you want to say to the people?
I got nothing going on at all, Greg. It's kind of sad.
Well, let's say you did. Mm-hmm. Let's say you had wares to sell, something to tell the people, mm-hmm. or just something where you wanted to promote what you do. There's only one way to do it, that's with our friends at Squarespace.
That's what I was going to say.
They make it easy to turn your idea into a unique website. You showcase your work, your blog, you publish content. You be a content provider. You could have your own hashtag brand, courtesy of Squarespace. You can customize everything on your website, from the look of it to the feel of it to settings and products you can sell, using beautiful templates created by world-class designers. Much better, Dave, than the GeoCities page I made when I was in college that had a black background with purple writing on it.
Do those still exist? Could you find one of those? If you Google, like, Wyszynski GeoCities?
I believe GeoCities was a Yahoo joint, so I'm going to say no. There's nothing to install, patch, or upgrade ever. Here's what you do. Head over to squarespace.com for a free trial. Then when you're ready to launch, use the offer code PUCKSOUP, all one word, P-U-C-K-S-O-U-P, to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's Squarespace for all your website build needs. And use that offer code PUCKSOUP for 10% off and enjoy the show.
New today on digital from director George Clooney. Don't miss the darkly comedic thriller Suburbicon. Matt Damon, Julianne Moore, and Oscar Isaac star in the film critics are calling smart, funny and entertaining, and full of twists and turns. Get Suburbicon on Fandango now, 2 weeks before Blu-ray. Rated R from Paramount Pictures.
Sticks and hits and goals and saves and slap shots and goons. We've got sportly commentary to an NFL commute. But we also cover movies, TV shows, hits and tunes. It's your weekly bowl of hockey and nonsense. Puck Soup.
I'm Dave Lozo of Vice Sports.
And I'm Greg Wyszynski of ESPN.
By the way, okay, you're in Puck Soup. So on Patreon, when people decide they want to unsubscribe, there's an exit survey, and sometimes people will fill out reasons why they don't want to be a part of Patreon anymore.
First of all, there's people that have unsubscribed to this podcast. I find that hard.
That's amazing. And like usually there's like a generic, I don't even know what the exit survey looks like, but you can just click on them, assuming things like my financial situation has changed, or I don't like Patreon's features. But sometimes you can add like your own little thing. Yeah. And two people recently who were giving us a dollar, which we were super thankful for, and if you don't want to give it anymore, that's cool, gave like these really long answers about how unfunny we are.
Are you serious?
They were like, you know what? It's like, it's pretty good when it's hockey, but sometimes I don't like it. But other people do the stuff you do, but it's better. So maybe you should stop doing that. And I was just like, that person gave us a dollar a month for 4 months. And they were like, that's too much.
Right?
Like, that hurts.
Yeah.
It's fair. It's honest. It's okay. But yeah, I just thought about that. Like how they don't like the comedy.
After doing this podcast for as long as we have, I've come to the conclusion that humor is subjective.
Oh, totally.
And that if you come to the podcast because it has the word puck in the title, and you come to find out that it's like 35% hockey, 0% having to do with the bicycle messenger from the real world, and then maybe 5% to do with the trickster sprite from a Shakespearean play, that would be Puck from A Midsummer Night's Dream.
I get it.
Then you'd be disappointed.
I get it.
Because you'd feel like you've been sold a bad bill of goods,
or maybe you're like, I could really use some recipes for soup.
Right. Oh, and then there's the other
and
people.
And there's
the soup
no
people.
Soup at all on there's this podcast. No bisques. No nothing.
Right? Exactly.
So it's fair.
You know,
it's fine.
I mean, God forbid the Campbell Corporation ever tweeted out our podcast by mistake, and then people come to us being like, I wonder if they've got a nice bisque recipe I can use for my family, and then they get through, and it's like a bunch of F-bombs,
right.
And then like us talking about Ocean sequels we'd like to see.
Why does that one guy hate Baby Driver so much? It's like every episode. The movie's been out for 6 months. He won't stop talking about
it. Dear Patreon, I was expecting through these 4 months at least something about Minestrone, but all they talk about is Ross and Rachel.
I don't understand. Is crackers good for the soup or not? That's all I want to hear. And it's 2 hours of nothing that relates to that.
Oh, I think anybody who listens to this podcast believes that we do talk way too much about crackers. Now, here's the thing.
Ba-dum-bum.
Thank you. Speaking of crackers, I went to a WWE event on Monday.
Mm.
And I wanted to briefly tell you what never to do if you work at a major media company, which is inform them that you have tickets to an event where they don't have anyone to cover the event.
Ah.
And then they make you work. And then you feel like I had Raw tickets for the 25th anniversary of Raw at Barclays Center. And then I made the mistake of telling ESPN that I was going. And they're like, oh, well, we have somebody at the Manhattan Center for the other half of the show that they're doing, the second site, if you will. But no one's at Barclays. You mind stopping by and doing some interviews with people?
Oh, interviews you had to do?
Well, yeah. And here, okay, so the first interview I had to do was with the Ultimate Warrior's widow.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah, like, oh my God, there must be so many, like, widows and, like, children of, like, dead wrestlers that are there. That's not fun.
I gotta be honest with you, man. Like, I'm a somewhat casual wrestling fan and really had no idea who she was. I thought she was, like, someone who wrestled back in Fabulous Moolah days or something.
Like, what do you ask her? Like, what do you say? So, this what? Is pretty bittersweet, huh?
Once it became apparent who she was, it became a thing of, like, she's like, yeah, you know, my favorite parts were when he would used to do promos and, like, he would look to the heavens and shake his hands and say that the gods were putting the words in his mouth. I'm like, yeah, he doesn't seem like the real scripted type. And she's like, no, he wasn't. That was the extent of the interview.
Like,
the other guy that I liked talking to, though, was I interviewed the Godfather. Are you familiar with the Godfather? Do you remember the character who was a pimp?
No.
So the Godfather had three gimmicks in wrestling. He was Papa Shango, the voodoo priest.
Don't know who that is.
He was a boxer named Kama, who kind of reminded me of like a Street Kama? Fighter character that you wouldn't use. K-A-M-A. Not like...
Was he from Oxford? Did he pause a lot when he was doing his like bits?
Guess what? You're on the ordered list. But his most famous character was the Godfather, who was a wrestling pimp who in every town would bring out a bunch of strippers as his hoe train.
And well, yeah, hold on. That's misunderstanding what a pimp does. A pimp doesn't have strippers. Strippers don't have pimps. Strippers and pimp well, are and
in
hookers
this case,
are two different things.
Strippers were his hoes. They were playing hoes. They weren't strippers.
Oh, okay.
The strippers were the actresses.
Oh, they were playing
the role of whores.
They were playing ladies in a stable, basically.
On Vince McMahon's family television
and
show.
And it was called The Hoe Train?
He would call it The Hoe Train. His slogan was,
oh, God.
Roll a fatty for this pimp daddy.
That's a freaking slogan.
And he was one of the more popular wrestlers in the history of the company. And so I had a chance to talk to him. And I said, you know, I can't help but think that a lot of the things that you guys did back in the day might not play today. He's like, nope.
Like, the hoe train.
There's literally nothing that we did back in the day that we'd be able to do today. By the way, the Godfather now runs Cheetahs in Vegas.
Oh, yeah?
So, you know, it's like if George Clooney became a thief.
Like, George Clooney's a thief in real life. Don't act like he's not. Come on. He's a great cover.
The role you played became your thing. But the reason I wanted to tell this story... It actually ties back into hockey in a journalistic way. Mm-hmm. When you go to a hockey game and you get there early and you see some players on the ice or whatever, or you see them setting up the rink or whatever, and you might like occasionally snap a picture and be like, oh, hey, wow, this is wacky. Look, the Lightning mascot is practicing human bowling or whatever before the game on the ice.
There's like a guy who's like sitting on the bench and like looking out on the ice before. Yeah,
right. Like goalie visualization.
Mm-hmm.
So after I get done with the interviews, I go to take a picture of the ring because I think it'd be a cool thing. I'm there at like 2 hours before the show, just like you would take a picture of the rink,
right?
You know. So I get out there inside of Barclays, and there's like John Cena and Ric Flair and Braun Strowman, who's like the big beefy muscle guy now.
Don't know who that is.
And they're all kind of like hanging around and kind of fucking around and kind of figuring out what they're going to do that night, along with all of these other WWE people. And so, like, I take out my camera phone, and I'm like, I feel like this isn't something you're supposed to take a picture of, because I've never seen it. But maybe it's because no one's tried to take a picture of
sure.
it before.
It's like whenever I think of a joke on Twitter, and I'm like, nailed it. I'm like, why do they call it kidney stones instead of rock out with your cock out? And then I search kidney stone, rock and cock, and that joke's been made 8,000 times. And I'm like, oh, okay, I guess I'm not the first person to think of that.
So... I raise my camera phone, or my phone with a camera in it. Camera phone sounds like I'm talking about some fucking thing. Like they just invented it. Like I got rid of my Motorola flip phone.
I took out my Polaroid and I set up my old-timey thing with the light in the air and it poofed.
It sent a black and white digital photo to my friend and it took 3 years to send. And I took a I raised up the phone, and then all of a sudden I hear, "Hey!
Oh, yeah.
You can't take pictures in here!" Australian guy.
I was going to say, was he a pirate? He sounded like a pirate.
Angry Australian guy, who I assume is like a stage manager or whatever. "Not allowed! Not allowed!
Jog on!" That's more British.
And I go and I kind of sit down, and I just start like fiddling around with other stuff on my phone.
Oh.
And he's just like, he kind of like walks over to the partition. He's just like, "Why are you in here? You're not even supposed to be in here." I'm like, I'm media. I'm sorry. I didn't realize what the protocol was. Didn't take any pictures. Wasn't going to do anything. Sorry about that. And he's just like, you can't be in here. It's not allowed. You're not allowed to be in here. You should go back down to where you belong. And then he's walking away. He's like, "Who are you with?" I'm thinking to myself, for fuck's sake, am I going to get fucking fired for trying to take a cell phone picture at a wrestling match?
For a picture of Brawny,
when I'm not even supposed to be doing media. I'm here as a fan. So I'm like, I'm with ESPN. He's like, "Okay." So now I'm just getting out of there. Like, I know that no good can come from this now identification of me being with this affiliate, right? So now I'm in the concourse, and I'm just finishing up. I'm using their Wi-Fi to send a video to ESPN. And another guy walks through the curtain, and he's starting to walk towards me. I'm like, "Ah, shit." And he's like, "Hey, man, like, why did you try to take a picture?" I'm like, "I got to be honest with you."
You're like the guy in Office Space where like 8 different bosses come to your desk to ask you why you didn't have your TPS cover sheet on the report.
I'm like, "I got to be honest with you, man. I'm a hockey writer. Like, I don't know anything about the protocols here. Like, when we go to a hockey game, we take a picture of the rink all the time before the game. And I thought that's what this was." Dude's like, "Well, here's the thing." That's a sport. This is like being on a movie set. Like, you can't go and just take a picture of a movie set
if you're a credentialed journalist
or whatever.
That makes sense.
And it made a lot of sense.
Yeah,
there was my moment of recognition that maybe in my naivete, I said, "These are athletes. They're bouncing around. They're doing their athlete thing."
Oh, you didn't know wrestling was fake until this
right
moment?
Right in that moment.
You were like, "Hold on a second.
Yeah.
Pilot drivers would kill people in real life."
So I laid that on him, and he's like, "Hey, listen, don't sweat it, man. It's cool. Like, no harm, no foul."
You didn't get put in like a Barclays Center jail like the one under the Philly stadium?
No. I didn't get have like D-Generation X come out and start beating me up and putting the boots to me.
Did they like look through your phone or anything?
No, they didn't do that. No. And I think in other places they probably would have. Like maybe, I know at the Olympics I've seen people have to like show their photos when they take photos in a place they're not supposed to be.
Huh.
But it didn't happen. I figured they'd just figure, hey, it's all right. And I got out unscathed to then return to Barclays a few hours later and a few beers later. And then we wound up getting 6th row seats, 4 rows behind Jimmy Fallon.
And you wound up in a Jimmy Fallon GIF that'll be on the internet forever.
The best.
Yeah,
the best.
It's like you knew the. Did you like see the red light on the camera?
Did
you know?
I knew exactly where the camera was.
That was a pro TV move where like you knew exactly what was on at that exact moment. You did the Greg Wyshynski face.
The amazing thing is before that segment, some guy physically pushed my chair into where it was supposed to be, and they cleared out all of the aisles around us.
Mm.
And like me and my friend Chris that are there, are just like, "Oh my god, there's gonna be some fucking fight coming by our way. They're gonna be fighting in the aisles or some shit." And it wound up just making sure that Jimmy Fallon had enough breath and width to go out with his entourage after his segment.
Oh god, he had an entourage.
He certainly
did. Was it a bunch of people like playing kazoos?
It was this. Did you watch Breaking Bad?
Kind of.
He was this. He there with the kid,
the son.
Yeah, the son. The son. Breaking Bad.
The son that was like he liked Raisin Bran Crunch or something, and like his dad kept buying him regular Raisin Bran, so he yelled at him about that. Was that a thing on that show once?
I don't know. But he was there, and then other people were there. So there you go. So long story short, wrestling's not sports, so don't treat it like sports.
Mind blowing. I had no idea. what a lesson I've learned.
You know what is sports? Hockey.
Is it?
Brad Marchand got 5 games of suspension time for elbowing Marcus Johansson in the head.
Mm-hmm.
Johansson was out with a concussion. Marchand gets 5 games. Before we get to the suspension, I suppose we should talk about the All-Star Game implications. Do you believe suspended players should be able to participate in the All-Star Game?
Sure. Why not?
I mean, you did something bad. Shouldn't that be part of the privileges that are taken away if you do something bad?
Okay, A, it's not a privilege to have to go to the All-Star game. It's a big pain in the ass for a weekend when you just want to go home and put your feet up and watch Breaking Bad reruns. It's not a privilege.
So you're saying it's actually part of the punishment to make him go to Tampa and be part of the All-Star game?
It's a bad way to incentivize getting suspended, because in the last game of the season, the last game before the break, every player is going to run around and start chopping people with their sticks. Like, oh, I guess I can't go to the All-Star game.
I thought I saw a fly in his nose, you know? And So, Sid, you hit him in the face because you thought there was a fly in his nose? Yeah, you know, so, you know, a little insect control, you know? So, no All-Star game, I suppose, huh?
Here's the thing. I really don't think Brad Marchand was trying to do anything there. I really feel like he lost his edge. He was tipping over, and he just hit a guy that he didn't even know was there. And I'm okay with him still being suspended for it, though.
You know, as I look around here, Snowflake, mm-hmm. I see this is a safe space. So I feel like you and I can speak freely about these matters, mm-hmm. not put on airs. Mm-hmm. Lest one of us say that on Twitter, and then all of a sudden people start treating us like Steve Simmons.
Oh yeah, I don't need to tweet this.
And I don't need to tweet this either. Because I don't want to be on the good graces of Boston fans 2 weeks out from the Super Bowl.
Yeah, it's tough.
I'll say this. When I saw the first angle from the back.
Oh, it's a terrible angle.
To bring it back to wrestling, I thought it was a Tito Santana flying forearm.
Like
to
he
the head.
Lined him up. And yeah. He just delivered the perfectly executed, but then you see it from the front, and there's just no way. It's like the Niskanen Ovechkin murder of Sidney Crosby. There's just not enough time to plan that out because he's skating for the rebound, and Corey Schneider gets there first, and he just wants to jam on the brakes and not hit Corey Schneider, and he just falls over.
He jams on the brakes, doesn't want to hit Corey Schneider, does raise his arm because he sees a jersey coming at him, like Bruce Cassidy said. But he hits him in the head. So, like...
Yeah, I'm fine with the suspension.
Suspension's fine. You get hit somebody in the head, you get suspended. That's right. Kind of how it works. And right. He's clearly doing it in sort of a defensive way. We've seen situations where guys have been suspended for, like, reverse hits into mm-hmm. into guys. Mm-hmm. Like, that's totally fine. There's precedent for it. 5 games for that, though?
I mean...
I thought 3 at the most, and that was based mostly on reputation.
Well, it's his reputation. It's the concussion history for Johansson. He's got another one now, so... Like I always say, like I'm always happy to see the Department of Player Safety, and by always I mean this one time, err on the side of caution. Like remember the Ryko Gudas thing where you were like, I don't know, you can't tell the intent there, blah blah. Like I don't think you can really tell the intent for sure here, but I'm more than happy to err on the side of premeditated now, murder as opposed to an accident. So.
Do you believe that? I was going to say, do you believe that the star-centric thing plays into decisions? Because here's the thing. I really do believe that, like...
Are you going to call Marcus Johansson a star?
No, I'm going to say Brad Marchand's a star. I mean, he's an all-star, literally. When he started getting dinged for these things, he wasn't.
Oh, yeah, he was
third or fourth liner on the Bruins. And back when he was, like, flipping Sebi Salo like a fucking tilt-a-whirl,
right.
Like, it was a different situation. Now he's a top-line player on arguably the best line in hockey. He's an accomplished goal scorer. He played with Sid and Bergeron in the World Cup as a top-line player. Like, he's a star. Mm-hmm. I think that he's a real interesting case because he's got this reputation. He's got this history of these things. And they were done at a time when he wasn't a star. Now he does these things as a star player. And I think, like, if the situation was different, if he was still, like, a second or third-line guy, I think he might be on that Rafi Torres escalation plan.
Oh, like if he was like a rat fuck with like 10 goals a year tops.
I think he might still be a rat fuck, but he's a rat fuck on their top line. I feel like the escalation template that's applied to other players that aren't top line guys might be pulled off him because he's now a star player. It's not to say he's not getting punished. And I still think his reputation is the reason he gets 5 games. But I also think his current status is the reason he didn't get 8.
No, I think 5's the most you can do here. Because, again, it's hard to tell that he was – like, it's not a situation where, like, Marcus Johansson was carrying the puck through the neutral zone and Brad Marchand just chicken-winged him. It's just a weird, awkward play that you've never seen before. And I think 5 is as high as you can go there. I think five, I get it. Like, this is the 6th time he's been suspended, and it's only 5 games, so people are like, oh, boy, the NHL Department of Player Safety doesn't want to do... But, like, you really can't give him more than 5 for this, I don't think.
Here's the thing about chicken wings.
They're bad. They're overrated.
I know exactly what you're going to say.
They're mostly skin and fat.
You're a boneless wing guy.
I just like eating chicken and not just eating skin and fat off of a tiny little bone for $8.
The buffalo wing or chicken wing is my favorite kind of way to eat chicken. But when I think chicken wing, like we talk about with a guy hitting a guy, I think of the kind of chicken wing that you get in a bucket. Like with chicken with drumsticks.
Like a four piece, yeah.
Yeah. Mm. I don't like fried chicken. I mean, I like the taste of it.
But I mean, buffalo wing is fried chicken.
Okay, hang on.
It's deep fried chicken.
It's not a bucket of fried chicken. A buffalo wing is a smaller, compact,
shittier,
better
worse.
Version of it.
Uh-huh.
You can put sauce on it.
You can put anything you want on chicken.
You can't put fucking sauce on a giant chicken wing in a bucket. It's unwieldy. You need a knife and fork.
You don't have to pour it into the bucket. You can take the chicken out of the bucket and put your sauces on. Yes.
Oh, great. And then your goddamn breading gets into the fucking dunk, and now you've got breading dunk, and you've got no breading on the chicken. So, no, plan's stupid.
What are you talking about?
I'm saying this.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm saying a chicken wing or a buffalo wing are perfect delivery systems for chicken. I, as we talked about on the show before, animalistic tearing of flesh away from bone better than boneless wings, which I don't even know what the fuck I'm eating. With a boneless wing, how do you get a boneless? What is there? Boneless chickens?
The guy right now talking
glass chickens that their bones break and shatter. You don't have to get it inside the chicken wing.
The guy is sitting here talking about how he loves animalistic ripping of flesh from the bone, like he's the manliest man in the world. Is currently wearing a Super Mario shirt with a giant yellow star on it.
Yeah, that's true. But I did just get back. I was late to the podcast because I was in a lumberjack competition.
You're like Wolverine.
That's right. I'm basically people used to call me Logan all the time. And I'm like, stop. You know, people are going to have I smell of musk and pine.
How did that movie only get one Oscar nomination?
We'll get to that in a second. Here's the thing. Last thing I'm going to say about chicken.
Go ahead.
Chicken ranking. Mm-hmm. Give me the chicken ranking. The roaster chicken you get from Whole Foods or whatever.
Oh, one?
A bucket of the hen. You know, the little little guy sticking out there.
Like a big
plastic dome.
Yeah, that's number one.
No. I'm asking you to rank these.
Oh.
Jesus. That one, bucket of chicken from Popeyes or KFC.
Okay, that's one.
Buffalo wings or chicken wings, the smaller version of that, and then boneless wings. So how do you rank them?
I go the 2, 4.
Oh, fucking
one,
say it.
Three.
I don't know what the number of assignments are. No one listening does.
The second thing you said, which was the bucket of chicken.
Bucket of chicken, number
big
one.
Bucking chicken. Remember that commercial?
Yeah, I do.
You are big. You are chicken. And then two would be boneless wings. And then three would be the Whole Foods, you know.
Okay, and then four would be chicken wings or buffalo wings.
No interest in chicken wings.
Number one is buffalo wings or chicken wings. Number two is the roaster. I like it because it's like an adventure. Like you're literally like, it's like dissecting.
Number two is the roaster?
Yeah. It's like dissecting
fried chicken
biology
and boneless wings. Oh,
because you can
like
root around and find.
These are Yostian food takes.
You can find.
Oh my goodness.
Speaking of Yostian takes, today he wrote a column about how heavy hockey is dead and the Oilers killed it. And now it's a fast and speedy league. And he used the LA Kings as an example of another team that's no longer heavy hockey. I'm like, dude, Dustin Brown's on their top line.
Andre Kopitar's kind of heavy too.
He's not. Drew Doughty is heavy in life.
And also that team has fallen out of the playoffs too. Yeah, they're not really an example.
Roaster chicken second, because I liked exploring the chicken. And finding all of the little places where you can find the meat. Like, I'm lifting up this thing here. Oh, there's skin here. Like, I find that to be fascinating.
So you love exploring the chicken
exploring
and tearing
chicken.
Away of flesh.
Yes.
Are you a serial killer, yes or no?
I might be Pinhead. third for me would be,
exploring
I guess, fried
chicken.
Like, a bucket of fried chicken. Because, again, it's the animalistic tearing of flesh from bone. Because boneless wings are fucking stupid. It's just stupider. It's like a fucking rough tater tot is what it tastes like to me, and I hate it.
What do you like? Do you like chicken fingers?
I do.
So boneless wings are basically just a better version of chicken fingers.
No, but chicken fingers are long.
So now it's the shape as well. So it's the
chicken
shape.
Chicken fingers remind me of when I was a kid.
Searching.
And my mom would make me cutlets for dinner. Pork cutlets.
Yeah, those are different.
Can I just tell you right now that?
Are you hungry?
At one point, I tried to make a comfort food meal that my mom used to make me, which was a pork cutlet with spaghetti. And the spaghetti would just have like olive oil and like massive amounts of grated cheese on it. And then I realized that the pork cutlet is fucking sawdust.
See, this
my
is
mom used to give me sawdust.
This is why people don't want to listen to us anymore. We spent 45 minutes so far, and four of them have been about Brad Marchand. The rest have been about our chicken loves and wrestling.
What was the sidebar that I killed that you were about to bring up? I forget what it was. It doesn't matter.
Was it?
Yeah, I was like, hold on, I want to do my chicken ranking, and then you brought up something else.
What did I say?
Was it? I don't even think
it was hockey related.
Brad Marchand should have probably gotten about 3 games based on reputation. 5's too many, and I think that because he's a star player now, he doesn't get 8. Done and done.
So he should have gotten 3, but he also should have gotten 8. Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm saying that I think 3 is what he should have gotten. I think in societal terms,
societal,
he would have gotten 8 if he wasn't a top line player.
I don't know.
As a repeat offender.
I like 5. I got to be honest. When's the last time I was like player safety? Good stuff.
Yeah.
I'm truly, and I don't think Brad Marchand was even trying to elbow anybody on that play, but
I find it weird that a suspended player goes to the All-Star game, but I kind of like your idea that it's punishment for him.
I mean, like, especially in a sport where it's physical and there's contact and guys get suspended a lot, like, I don't think you can, like, I mean, like, if say if Brad Marchand was suspended 20 games for, like, PEDs, okay, maybe leave him out for that. But, I mean, like, he accidentally elbowed a guy in the head. I don't think that's worth keeping him out of
takes
the game
for. Takes that PED. He's like, I feel so alive. Oh, it was POD, wasn't it? Yeah, Brad Marchand's going to go to the All-Star game, but if you want to go to the All-Star game, there's really only one place you can turn.
Oh, no, we can't do the SeatGeek ad. Now, everyone just tuned away after that last segment.
It's the smartest, easiest way to get tickets to every type of live event, including the NHL All-Star game, or really any All-Star game. The NBA All-Star game, a.k.a. the good one.
Is it the good one?
The Pro Bowl, where...
That's a bad one, too.
We should be giving you tickets to go.
Baseball's the only good one.
Baseball is... You think baseball is the best All-Star game? Why? Because of the home run derby?
Well, no. I mean, the game itself.
Oh, okay.
Not like the... I would rank the baseball game as the best, and I would put the NHL skills thing as number 2. And
oh, as far as, like, All-Star experience.
It's just, like, weekend stuff, and then, like, basketball, like, the slam dunk contest is pretty decent, but, like, everything in football is terrible.
I would put the NBA All-Star game as number 1... NHL skills 2, NBA skills 3, and then MLB All-Star game, which I think used to have a lot more luster to it than it does now.
MLB is the only one where, like, you have to play defense. Like, you can't not play defense. You know, like, NHL, yeah. NBA, NFL, no one tries on defense. In baseball, you can't just be like, ground ball up the middle.
It's the game that most looks like the sport, like, that's normally played.
Right, like, pitchers are throwing 98 and stuff.
Right.
Like, no one's, like, taking it easy on anybody.
And because
so.
In football and hockey, like, there's no contact, basically, and it's a contact sport. So.
Right, hockey probably has the second best game. Like, the NBA is cool because, like, the final score will be, like, 187 to 182, and there will be, like, 4 cool, like, off-the-glass reverse dunk things, and it's great. But, like, the rest of the game's kind of tough to watch.
So if you want to see a game that's got like a billion points scored, like the NBA game, or a game where there's like maybe a dozen goals scored, like the NHL game, use the SeatGeek app. I got it on my phone. It's by far the easiest way I've found to shop for tickets. It could be anywhere, and with just a few taps, I can instantly find seats. I used SeatGeek recently to buy some Broadway tickets for me and the missus that I'm not going to reveal what show it is because I wanted it to be a surprise, and Ruby listens to this podcast occasionally. It's designed to make your ticket buying experience easier than ever. They grade the tickets based on value, so you know exactly which ones you're buying and whether it's a good deal for you. And every ticket is fully guaranteed, so you can shop with confidence. Best of all, listeners to Puck Soup get $20 off their first SeatGeek purchase. Just download the SeatGeek app today. Enter the promo code SOUP. That spells soup. That's promo code soup for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. The All-Star game is, of course, coming up. Brad Marchand will be there. I will be there. You will not be there. But we will light a candle for you at the meetup we're doing on Friday.
I should have gone. It's stupid.
It's still time. And
I looked up flights.
Yeah,
I could fly down there and come back Friday, Sunday for like $450, or I could fly down Friday and come back like next Wednesday for like $180. So I need somewhere to live essentially from Sunday to Wednesday to come back in order for it to be a decent price.
If you have a spare room for Dave Lozo and want to get him that information ASAP,
just let me know.
Let him know.
I'll sleep in the basement. It's fine.
We discussed this on, I'm not sure when this is going to hit, but this is the topic of conversation on Friday morning on the ESPN Roundtable, but I wanted to ask you about it.
ESPN.
What is your preferred All-Star game format? Like, if you could have, it could be something that's been done.
Oh, the one with two, three years ago when they drafted players. And
see,
everyone could be on different sides. That was awesome.
Let me proffer
that
this,
was by
though, about
far
that.
The best one.
And it's not even a devil's advocate position because I truly believe this.
You really are a devil's advocate.
I really am.
You're Greg Wyshynski.
Yes.
Yes.
And JD. I felt like those games were tough to watch because there was no sort of inherent rivalry going on, whether it was for the players or more in particular for the fans. Like, at least in a divisional format or a conference format, you can be like, yeah, shit, man, Central's the shit.
No one's
but like
that.
No one gives a shit about Team Taves or Team fucking Lidstrom.
So here's what I would do. I would take the draft format and just apply it to the 3-on-3, 4 division thing. Like the four guys who get the most votes are captains. And then whoever picks the other 40 guys as part of the draft pool picks them. And then it's a 4-team snake draft. Or you can do it like a regular draft like they did and just have, you know, Subban pick, then McDavid pick, and then Ovechkin pick.
Like Central Atlantic whatever if those players aren't from the Central Atlantic whatever. You call Team Blue, Team Red,
Team
like Purple.
Team Subban, Team McDavid,
so
Team Stamkos.
It's the same thing as the fantasy draft except now there's 4 teams.
Right. Because, like, again, we always come back to this. The game is the least interesting thing for fans.
Right.
The skills, people still love the skills, and the draft was this 2 years, 2 years or 3 years?
It was like 2 or 3 years. It was a
awesome, great time. Like, people, it was great.
Char against Lidstrom, I think, right, or something like that.
There was the first year was the Kessel year when he was the last pick.
Yeah, and I think that was Taves versus Kane.
Columbus was the last year when they did.
Oh,
when they combined, like, the you like took a group of people at the end as opposed to, like.
And that was Nick Foligno was one of the captains.
Nick Foligno
for the locals.
Right. But, like, that was
so, again, like, 3 years. I'm guessing.
But, like, that was a really entertaining. I mean, like, again, it wasn't the greatest thing ever, but, like, that 2-hour show was worth watching if you were a hockey fan. And now it's just gone. Now they do everything behind closed doors. Now, like, you know, player safety picks who does the skills, hockey ops picks the players. It sucks.
Yeah, I think my biggest problem with it is the fact they've taken the game away from the fans.
Right.
It's my fault, I guess, because of the John Scott thing. But, like,
good job, Greg.
The Golden Globes-esque drinking room was my favorite thing about the fantasy draft.
Right.
And everybody having a fun time. Like, the first year they did it, I remember, like, Scotty Hartnell telling me that, like, him and I think it was Jeff Carter went and took a piss during it, but they only could find one bathroom, so they both went into this little tiny stall and, like, did sword fighting and shit. Like, it was just
wait,
like,
hold on.
Yeah, there was
time
like,
out. Time out, Dave.
Yeah, that
Dave's
was,
gonna call
that was
time
the story
out
they told me. Yeah.
Why couldn't they just take? Why couldn't one guy pee first?
They both
the
had
other
to pee
guy
real quick and get back to the thing real quickly.
Now, I feel like as someone who's not a hockey player, I can't really speak intelligently on hockey stuff. But as someone who pees a lot, I have never once had to pee so bad where I was like, okay, we have to pee together. Like, why can't we? I'll go first, and then you can come in after, or you go first, and then I'll pee when you're done.
You know what's weird for me about peeing?
They had the sword fight?
Well, the sword fighting thing's weird for me in that context.
That's really weird, but
I mean, they're not at camp. But, like, the thing that's weird for me about peeing is that when you go to a bar that has a shitter and a urinal, like, in the same room, but it also has a door that locks, if I'm just taking a piss in the shitter, do I leave the door open so someone else can get in, or do I have ownership of that room until I leave it? Do you know what I mean? Like, well, there's two things.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
There's two things. So in theory, if I'm just taking a piss, there's like a line of people waiting outside. In theory, if I'm a humanitarian, I'm going to leave the door open so someone can come in and piss in the urinal.
The door, the bathroom.
The bathroom
main
door open.
That door should never lock, in my opinion.
What if it...
Wait, the
toilet's not in a stall.
Oh.
It's an open air situation.
Then
there's
that's
a toilet
different.
Here, there's a urinal here. There's no protection. If you're taking a shit, you're out in the open. You know what I'm saying?
Then
you've been in a bar like that,
yeah,
right?
Then you have to lock the door.
Okay.
You're saying if you're peeing, what should I do?
Yeah, if you're peeing, should I leave the door open so someone else can come in and take a piss too?
Oh, take a piss too. Oh, yeah. Now I see. Oh, now I'm caught up.
Now you're understanding the logistics of it, but I'm sorry. I didn't paint a Doc Emmerich-like word picture for you to understand.
Well, you didn't really explain the toilet wasn't inside a stall.
By the sink. Open air. Unencumbered.
Cheeks the porcelain.
The urinal hangs on the wall like a fine painting in the Louvre.
I think you have to. I think it depends on the line, depends on the crowd in the bar. Like, if you go in there and you're by yourself, I think.
And then is it
if
weird
you're
if
peeing
I...
by yourself, you don't lock the door.
Okay.
If you're a second person, I think the door just stays unlocked unless you're taking a dump.
Now, do I have a responsibility if I'm just peeing to like turn to my buddy next to me or the stranger next to me, I should say, and be like, hey, come on in the bathroom with me. Let's go both take a piss together.
See, now you're making it weird. We had a really good psychological, sociological question here, and now you're inviting guys in to poop fight.
Hey, not for nothing, buddy, but I'm just going in to take a squirt. You want to join me?
You know what this reminds me of? The Starbucks order ahead shit. Because when you walk past the Starbucks and you look inside and there's two people online, you're like, that's like 4 minutes. I'll go in there and get a coffee. Then you get in there, you order, and you realize there's like 19 orders that have been pre-ordered ahead of yours, and you're fucking stuck there. Starbucks needs like a sign that says like, this is how many people are actually in line.
Right.
Because like, you need to know.
Yeah.
I need to know that.
Like DMV. And everybody's using it now too.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. We were at the mall the other day and Ruby used it and she's like, I'll just like wait 5 minutes to walk over. And then like, I walked over to where she was and you're right. There's like three people in line to get drinks. And then like, the fucking section at City Field waiting for their orders that had pre-ordered it.
Because it's so weird, because you're standing there and you're like, okay, there's two people in front of me, so once their orders go, then it's mine. And then like they're calling out, like they're making all these coffees that aren't. You're like, wait, why are there 11 cups on the line? There's only three people in here. And then like people pop, it's just give me an idea of how long the wait is. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, you're net, you know, little whether time. You're, like, whether like you're waiting pooping for a subway, all the names will be up there, and how many minutes it'll take.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's just nice to have. Like, you know what I mean? I just want to know going in. Same thing with pooping and peeing. You should wear a shirt that says poop or pee on it when you get to the front of the line. Like, oh, I got to pee. Oh, there's two poops ahead of me. I'll come back in like 10 minutes then.
And that way you know if you need to pull that TSA trick where it's like, I'm sorry, but my flight is leaving.
Oh, don't
my
even.
My flight is leaving. Can I just move ahead of you a little bit?
Don't even get me started on TSA PreCheck. What a fucking scam TSA PreCheck is.
It's becoming a scam. Every time I go there now, the line for PreCheck is longer than the line for the normies.
That's inevitable. And then eventually they'll create some other fucking tier for people.
They already have that Nexus thing or whatever. Clear check
or
whatever.
It makes no fucking sense because like if you get Easy Pass, you will get through the toll booth faster because it's Easy Pass. TSA PreCheck just means instead of standing in a security line for 20 minutes, you stand by your gate for 20 minutes. Your flight doesn't leave earlier. You're paying $80 to stand in a different area of the airport before your flight takes off. I don't get it.
The Easy Pass thing has always bugged me, but then I have a few relatives that are a bit more, shall we say, right-leaning than me.
Oh,
and they don't have Easy Pass. And I said to him once, I'm like,
don't even tell me.
Why don't you have Easy Pass? And what do you think? Go ahead and guess.
Because the government's tracking them, right?
You. Yep. So like, whenever I fly through a toll plaza in like Delaware, and I see all these cars stacked up at the toll booth, and they're not moving because it's like fucking August, and everybody's going to the beach. I just think, was it really worth making sure the government didn't know you're going to the beach on this August day?
Like, I mean, like, what, like, what, like, is the government tracking your travel patterns? Are you sought after by the government? Because like, there's cameras everywhere. They're gonna. God, I hate people.
So my preferred all-star format. here's what I thought of today. Definitely agree with you. The 3-on-3 works.
3-on-3 is good for the.
You don't want
all-star
the all-star game in hockey to look like a real game. It's kind of a horseshit event. Like, don't try to make it. The reviews for the All-Star game are always shitty because like they try to make it look like a real hockey game, and you obviously can't get that because no one's trying and they're all hungover.
3-on-3 forces you to kind of try.
To kind of try, right? Or else you're going to look embarrassed. And that's right. What most of the guys said in the last couple of years, which is that like you're forced to at least give an effort because otherwise everyone's going to see you're not giving an effort.
Right.
You can't be like when Matt Duchene was there as like a rookie or a second year player and he had too much vodka the night before and he was just in the corner being like, the puck. Oh, I'm going for it. Here I go.
Wait, who was it?
It was Matt Duchene. He actually said on mic that he had too much vodka the night before.
Wasn't it Johnny Gaudreau we saw totally hammered in Columbus?
It was definitely Johnny Gaudreau and his friend, because we tell this story all the time about how Johnny Gaudreau was shit-faced and was being like dragged along by his friend. And at one point, I think he fell into like a police barrier, but like the kind of like gate that you have outside of a club to kind of do line control.
Oh, like the...
Better example for those of us in New York, that they have on like the side of the road to make sure that nobody goes to like...
Across the middle of the
across
street.
Across the middle of the street. That metal thing. I think Gaudreau fell into it.
Yeah.
And at one point, he was there, I think, with like a Boston friend. And because I remember the Boston friend was like, that's Johnny Gaudreau, rookie of the year right there. It's the greatest thing ever. You hear that?
So
3-on-3 would be the thing for me.
Okay. Are you drafting or what are you doing?
Here's what I thought of. I like the fantasy draft idea. I just didn't like it in the case of like Team Taves or whatever. So here's what I thought. Four divisions like we have now. 3-on-3 mini tournament. I want to bring back fan voting because what the fuck is the point of the All-Star game if you don't have fan voting? So you have the fans vote in 5 of the 6 forwards, 2 of the 3D, 2 goalies.
By division. Okay.
So the fans are the ones voting for all these guys.
So you're leaving 1 forward, 1 goalie, 1 defenseman available?
One forward, 1 defenseman. I don't really give a shit about the goalies. They're props anyway in these games.
Wow.
And then you allow the teams to select 2 players from their division that they would like to see in the All-Star game. So this then becomes an interesting thing. If you're the team captain, maybe you select a teammate. Maybe the guys get together and they're like, hey, Rory Fitzpatrick 2018, this guy we would love to see in an All-Star game. Maybe the Atlantic gets together and be like, Brian Boyle overcame fucking cancer. Like, we want him in the All-Star game. Or I'm sorry, the Metro. And And so you still have the players deciding to bring two guys to the All-Star game, one forward, one defenseman. Mm-hmm. And so you get that sort of like cool inside the club fantasy drafty type thing, but it's not the full-on fantasy draft.
But like, how would you, like, you couldn't air that. There's not enough guys to pick.
No, you wouldn't. You're going to lose the Golden Globes drinky thing too, unless you transfer that to the skills competition and just have them drinking during the skills competition.
No, that'd be bad, because the last thing a child needs to see is like Steven Stamkos vomit on the ice. While he's like sliding face first with like a cape on, like, "What, well, mommy? Well, what's wrong with Steven Stan? Oh, he's just nervous, honey."
I was gonna say that would have been an amazing thing to add to the trick shot competition, where it's like he barfed in the crease and then slipped on it and scored.
Let's lean into it. How about we do a relay where it's like, you know, breakaway challenge, beer pong,
like Revenge of the
puck
Nerds.
Relay, yeah. Quarters,
and then of course, the Revenge of the Nerds tricycle race that they already basically do at games now in intermission.
I'm just saying,
the ice tricycle race.
See, here's what I would do. I would go back and do the same thing we have now.
Oh, before you go on, there's one other aspect of my plan that I didn't reveal. Right now, the prize for winning the All-Star game thing is like, I think you split $1 million between your team or whatever.
That's it.
Winning team in my All-Star game.
What do you get?
No escrow for a year. Now, I don't know if financially that'll work out as well as getting a cut of $1 million, but I do know...
You choose.
Symbolically.
Right.
These guys are going to be like, fuck you. Fuck you, NHL. Fuck you, owners. No escrow for a year, baby. Let's go!
But it's only for the team that won.
Right.
Only for those 11
guys. But that's
guys.
The thing. I mean, puts a little incentive in it for you to win that tournament.
So you want all 11 of those guys to be hated for the rest of their lives by the rest of the players.
Brad Marchand literally slashing the ankles of opponents, being like, I am not giving up 15.5% of my fucking paycheck.
What percentage of those guys would actually even understand what it means to not have escrow? Like, you know what I mean? I still barely understand.
Here's a real question. If fucking 11 All-Stars give up their escrow, does that basically just cut too deep? have the biggest contracts in hockey. Like, does that cut too deep into the escrow for the NHL to handle it?
Here's what I'm doing. Same thing we have now with the vote, where the top four guys in the division all become the captains.
I'm the captain now.
And then we actually release the voting totals, by the way, the thing that the NHL used to do, you could see how many people get votes.
Sorry about that, too.
And it's the same sort of thing. We have the four captains, and then we have the other 40 guys. And we pick those 40 guys out of the votes. So, like, let's say we take the next top 40 guys in votes. But you have to have one guy from every team, even though the Devils are probably going to get screwed this year now because of Taylor Hall.
Yeah, it seems like as we do the podcast, it sucks. Taylor Hall's not going to play.
But,
and they're probably not going to put a Devil in the game, which means my guess was Barzal, but someone pointed out it could be a Flyer. It could be Couturier.
Probably should be a Flyer. So we have those 40 guys, and then we just keep going down until we have at least one person from every team. Mm-hmm. So, like, say if, like, Oliver Ekman-Larsson's the highest-rated Coyote, and he's at, like, 136 on the list. We bump out number 40. We raise up Oliver Ekman-Larsson, and that's your pool. And we do the same thing we did. Get people drunk on a Friday night, have them pick the teams, and those are your teams for the weekend. Those are your skills competition teams. Those are your teams. You play the game, win the money, have fun. But you give the people back the two-hour draft that everybody loved. And I know the players hated it too, but sometimes you just got to do shit you hate for 2 hours. That's life. That's just life sometimes. And if that's the shittiest thing you got to do all year is sit there and draft people, get drunk.
You really love that draft, huh?
It was fun.
Yeah.
It was good.
It's fun to the point where the NBA stole the idea.
But the NBA, really, the NBA doesn't televise their draft thing. People are mad about that. They don't televise their draft. And I just... I understand it's a powder keg, though, because, like, you have a bunch of drunken dudes with hot mics and, like, something bad could happen. But, like, the worst thing that happened, I think, the 2 or 3 years they did it, like, somebody made a comment about, like, Catherine Tappan's shoes or something, wasn't it? I forget who it was.
It was somebody on stage, like,
Getzloff?
On a hot mic. It was, like, Backus or somebody, I want to say.
And, like, you know, there's potential for that.
Wait, was Backus in the All-Star game? Probably wasn't him. He might have been.
Paul Stastny. Whoever it wasn't great, but it wasn't the worst thing in the world. Like,
the reason the NBA players can't be all in the same room for this is they're all catty fucking mean girls to each other now.
It's great. Like, I want to see that.
It is great, but there's no way the NBA would do it, would they? Like, they don't want that. They don't want, like, shade being thrown at every single person.
Like, did you see Russell Westbrook talking about Paul George not getting picked for the All-Star? He's his teammate, so it's different. But, like, it'd be great. It'd be so great if, like, well, at the last pick, we take Draymond Green, even though I don't fucking want Draymond Green on my team. I like somebody else. Yeah. Like, that'd be great. Oh, that'd be so great.
Oh, my God.
But
just a bunch of guys all just dragging LeBron for fucking an hour.
It's just like, but hockey right now, it's like the least inclusive, least fun. And we're like 2 or 3 years removed from when it was like the most fun. And
I did a 10 skills competition things I wanted to see. And then one of them that I'm enamored with. The first is the switching of goalies and skaters. So the skaters are the goalies and the goalies are the skaters. But as you pointed out, you believe that...
Oh, it never happened.
...greatly increases the chance that Sidney Crosby might pop a groin if he was a goalie.
Could you imagine if, like, you lose one of your best forwards for the year because he, like... His groin doesn't go that way because he hasn't done it for like and like he's out for the year. Like that would be the worst thing. I'd love it, but
the other thing is I think they should have more people from outside the NHL as part of the skills competitions, like the women's players, like, you know, Hillary Knight and Poulin and them, and then like the idea of bringing like legends back to do some of these skills competitions, like bring fucking Al McInnes to go to do hardest shot and see how that's looking.
You can't do that. I'll tell you why.
Well, because of your feet of strength, you couldn't do.
I'll give you the perfect example why we could not bring back the old people to watch them do it.
Why?
Indiana Jones and the Crystal Skull.
What if it was Forsberg for shot accuracy?
No,
though?
No, I don't want to see it.
Don't you want to hear?
I don't want to have anything tarnished.
An echoing chant of "You still got this," or "You still got it" during the no.
No.
So you're.
It would be sad. The sadness would outweigh the one glimmer of like. Like Jeremy Roenick hitting all four targets.
So the minute you see Peter Forsberg, you flash back to Shia LaBeouf being like, I thought you were a teacher. Part time.
I had that on like by accident on like FX or Spike, whatever channel was showing it.
Yeah.
And like it was like the first 20 minutes of this Crystal Skull. And you forget how many just awfully blatant cutaways there are where it's clearly not Harrison Ford doing the thing because he's too old to do it. Like that, like if that was a skills competition where it's like, here's Peter Forsberg and he's like all decrepit and they cut to an angle and it's like some young guy whipping the targets off. Wait a second. Hang on, this is a camera trick, isn't it?
Hey, isn't that Nick Backstrom? It's Peter Forsberg. Trust us.
The different angle cuts back and Forsberg's arms are in the air. You're like, that stick doesn't even have tape on it. I don't think that really happened.
I fucked up the joke. It should have been Philip Forsberg.
Yeah. He's right-handed in the one shot and lefty in the other. What's going on here? I don't know if I like this.
So I take it you're not encouraged that Steven Spielberg has been talking about doing a fifth Indiana Jones?
Is he?
He is.
Indiana Jones and what? The backaches of pills?
What? I would be for it as long as you remove George Lucas from the equation, because I really feel like the last movie was basically like Steven Spielberg is like the most powerful man in all of Hollywood and George Lucas is... You know, once they, you know, I don't want to make another Indiana Jones movie. And then Spielberg was like, I really don't, but I know that you can't make it without me, so lay it on me.
There'll be, you know, Aztec aliens and also a son who is Marlon Brando. And then also he finds Karen Allen and she's feisty and there's quicksand. And
no.
Also monkeys. Their monkeys will fly through the ropes and they will be with young Marlon Brando and it will be great.
What movie is this?
This is Crystal Skull.
also Russians instead of Nazis. Like, really update it.
Imagine having a movie where Cate Blanchett can be the bad guy and ruining it.
And
just ruin it. And just have it just be terrible.
Yeah.
They found a way to do it. Like there's no storyline where I would be like, I have to see this movie.
Also, we'll have him at a nuclear test site.
George, like not for nothing, but how's he gonna get out of that scrape?
He'll hide in a refrigerator.
Even the beginning when they're trying to find the magnetic box and he's like throwing gunpowder into the air like, oh, fuck off. Oh, the bad fucking movie.
And then he will find all of the treasure.
Who leads him to the treasure?
A CGI friend named Jar Jar Binks will...
What? No, not that again, George.
I know, it'll work. People love comic relief.
All right, what's the one thing we can do to make people like this movie? What can we add? We have Karen Allen. We're bringing back Karen Allen. We got Indiana. We got Harrison Ford. Shia LaBeouf.
As his son.
What? What? And like in the way they set it up that like he's going to be the next generation. Like, yeah. Can you imagine going to see four movies with him as Harry?
We'll do another trilogy with Shia LaBeouf.
With the kid from Holes?
Yeah.
The kid who likes... Now I'm all mad.
Mm-hmm. He takes tries to take the hat at the end. And
yeah.
Ford steals it.
And the scene where they throw him the snake in the quicksand is funny.
The only way you could do it is if you had Harrison Ford as like the framing device during the movie, right? Like bookends it around him and he's introducing a new Indiana Jones type.
But who's again? I don't want a new Indiana.
It'll be Indiana Jane.
Indiana Elgort. By the way, did you know he's a singer too? He has a song out.
He's a man of many talents.
Including
the Oscar-nominated Baby Driver for Best Editing.
Yeah, because as we all know... Nothing says good movie like sound mixing, sound editing, and film editing.
There it is.
It totally deserves those Oscar nominations because clearly they paid no attention to anything else in that movie other than the editing and the music and the sound. It wasn't about the script or the acting or the story or the dialogue.
We'll probably do more Oscar shit when we get to the Oscars. But, like, again, I'll get my soapbox, man. The Florida Project special movie I saw this year, and it got criminally unnominated. They nominated Dafoe, who's the only pro actor in, like, the whole movie.
Oh, that's the movie that, like, takes place in, like, a hotel or something?
Yeah, it takes place in Florida. It's a really blistering exploration of poverty in America.
Exploration.
But, like, no one really wants to watch that. They want to watch Lady Bird. But I'm not saying Lady Bird was shit. Lady Bird's great. Lady Bird's great. Get Out's great. I'm super happy Get Out got the nominations it did.
But, I can't believe Get Out is the best picture this year. I haven't seen the other ones.
What say you? You mentioned this. This is the thing you mentioned during the chicken. The Logan thing, maybe, was the thing that you mentioned. How did you, were super happy about that? Because I was.
I mean, I feel like they thought Logan was a good enough movie where they had to give it something.
Yeah.
So they were like, adapted screenplay.
But, like, isn't the whole point of having, like, 9 Best Picture nominations just to throw a bone to a movie like Logan or Wonder Woman or whatever so people actually watch this fucking thing? Like, isn't that the whole point?
You're never going to get, a superhero movie to be Best Picture.
No, but, like,
you're just not.
Shouldn't
it's
it be
fine.
In the top? Like, shouldn't they just say, ignore the ballots and just put it there as just, like, a fucking, you know, like, a little sugar cube for us, like, little tapeworms to find?
Here's my feeling is, like, I think Get Out's a good movie. I like Logan better, but Get Out should be an Oscar finalist and Logan shouldn't be. You know what I mean?
But why, though?
Because, like, it's just, like Get Out's like a movie and, like, Logan's just like a comic book movie.
How is that different, though? Like, Logan's a legit movie. Did it make you feel things? But,
like,
a little weepy?
Get Out, the story's better.
But acting's good in Logan, though.
Yeah, but I mean, like, I get it.
Hold on. I speak Lozo. I get it now.
Lay
I know what you're trying to say.
Let it out. Lay it on me.
Get Out is about something. It's about something bigger than simply just...
Get Out is a film.
The tropes of a comic book.
Logan's a movie.
Like, Logan, though, you could argue is about getting older. And
No, Logan's a fucking great movie.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. But
you're,
like,
saying Get Out has higher aspirations maybe than simply just telling a good
story. Yeah, like, I would... I'm also not a horror movie guy. Like, we talked about this a million times. Like, I don't really enjoy the horror movies. Like, I just don't... I don't get scared by them. You know what I mean? Like, right. I get scared by, like...
Real horror, like, every day we live in our society.
Like Sully, like, seeing the planes crash, like, that fucking scares me. Like, a plane going down is like, oh, shit, that could really happen. No one's ever going to steal your brain and put it in someone else's head. Like, that's just not scary.
It also really scares me to find out my pilot's name is Sully. Like, it's just some fucking townie.
Like, Logan's so good because, like, they do so many little subtle things that, like you said, like, it's all about, like, you know they're all going to die when you first watch it. And, like, the way they slowly age, like Logan, mm-hmm. like, Hugh Jackman in that movie is still fucking Hugh Jackman. He's still jacked, and he's huge and jacked. But he's heavier. You can tell, like, they've, like, aged him just the perfect amount where you're just like, oh, right.
And he's got that old racist Mel Gibson beard.
Yes, he has. He has the Mel Gibson showing up for the award show. Why is he here? Beard,
right? With the beaver puppet on his hand.
It's a little white and it's a little gray. And
the beats of
Logan are great. But
I think if you were going to pick one genre movie to be in the mix this year, it would probably have been Logan. With due respect to Wonder Woman, I thought Wonder Woman was a delightful movie, but by no means a best picture nomination. I think for the genre movies to make it, like Last Jedi would have been fine if that made it. I think that movie was art. Logan was art. Dark Knight was art.
I want to see 3 billboards because I want to see if I hate it as much as everybody else. It's the first movie I've ever wanted to see because I want to see if it's as bad as everyone says.
Like, what if it isn't? Does that make you racist?
Wait, 3 billboards is... I don't know what it's about.
It's like a problem... Like, the problems that people have with the flick, because I haven't seen it either, is this notion of it just...
like Sam Rockwell's character, right?
It's
like super racist.
Observations on race in America are completely not in sync with what the conversation is currently, which is why people think it won the Golden Globe, is because those are the foreign journalists, and they're all kind of seeing that movie through their prism versus us seeing it here and being like, this is completely out of fucking touch. But the foreign journalists are like, this is exactly what we think of America. Like, it's that kind of
thing. I just heard it was bad.
Everything was bad about it. Guy made in Bruges, man.
I know. In Bruges. It's not Bruges.
Sorry, in Bruges.
It's not multiple Bruges.
Yeah. Many Bruges.
The troops is.
I mean, like, that at least gets me at least a little bit interested in seeing it.
I don't know. I guess I want to see Lady Bird. I want to see a couple. There's no way you can tell me a movie about a lady having sex with a fish is one of the 10 best movies. There's just no way. I refuse to believe that movie could ever be one of the
and
10
yet,
best movies.
I know for a fact you lobbied for Splash to be an Oscar nominee back in like 82.
To be fair, that was a fish woman and that's different.
That's a man having sex with a fish woman.
That's more believable for me as a human. I understand that better than.
I don't remember anything from that movie except for Eugene Levy throwing water on her. to make her get the fishtail again, and then being like, "Behold, the horrible, scaly fish woman." That's all I remember from that movie.
That movie messed me up, man. Like I remember that scene where they they throw the water on her. I was just like, "Oh, wow."
Yeah, it was horrific, right? Like it was like she was living her best life,
right?
And then all of a sudden
she's not bothering anybody.
Exposed.
She's just hanging out.
Yeah.
She's on land doing her thing.
Right.
And they just throw.
Oh, God, think back to that era of Tom Hanks back when that whole shit's happening, and then you know,
before he was an actor.
Well, like 30 years later, he's like one of our most cherished actors of all time, and back then it's like, she's a fish, Like it's like, how did that happen?
Wait, did Wonder Woman get any Oscar stuff? It probably
It got
nothing.
Snubberooed for all the major stuff. Like they thought Patty Jenkins might get one for director and stuff, but
it's just comic book movies are just that.
It's not an Oscar worthy movie. It's just a good flick. The ending wasn't anything to write home about.
No,
like what's your face? Gal Gadot was great. Like she carried the flick. It was a good movie, but by no means. I think it got elevated, one, obviously because of the politics and involved in it, but two, because everything DC had put out up until that point in that universe was dog shit outside of, well, Man of Steel I like, but like it's on the heels of like of Suicide Squad.
Yeah, but like movie people I don't think care about which studio makes it. It's just a comic book movie. But to go against my own argument, if so many movies are going to be comic book movies now, you may as well recognize them in the Oscars, right?
Like you should. Because they'll get away with it. Or Star Wars movies. You know, this kind of Oscar talk makes you think that you and I should open up a website one day to talk about all of our gold derby predictions for the Oscars.
Gold derby? Is that a term for the Oscars?
If we were to do so, you know what we would use to create it?
I'm going to say Squarespace.
I will agree with your point, and it is indeed Squarespace. If you want to start a new business, or if you just want to create a website to let the world know what you're thinking or maybe sell some wares, the future is coming. Make it brighter with Squarespace. They have beautiful templates created by world-class designers, and Squarespace makes it easier to turn your idea into a new and unique website. You showcase your work, you blog, you publish content, you sell products and services of all kinds in just a few clicks. You can customize everything from the look to the feel to settings and products. As a guy with my own website, I got to tell you, the ease with which you can use Squarespace to tailor your site for your needs is a very big deal. Because a lot of time can be spent when you're creating your own little website, as I have a gregwyszynski.com website, fiddling around with things you don't need, or using templates that don't work, or backgrounds that are dumb. And with Squarespace, you don't have to worry about any of that stuff, because it's all optimized for mobile, so that's one great thing. You can customize it super easy. Plus, their analytics help you grow your site in real time. There's nothing to install, patch, or upgrade ever. And if you have a question, Squarespace's award-winning 24/7 customer service is there to help you out. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial of all the things they can do for you in creating a website. And when you're ready to launch, use the offer code PUCKSOUP, all one word, to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com, offer code PUCKSOUP for all your website creation and such.
I don't think I like Allison Williams. I think that's the reason I don't like Get Out.
But she was, spoiler, perfectly cast if you don't like Allison Williams.
No, I mean, like, I just don't like her acting. I don't mean like her as a person. I'm sure she's delightful. Like, Catherine Keener's good. Bradley Whitford's good. The main guy is good.
We were walking Sneakers in New York, and I think she came over and said hi to Sneakers. And then, like, she was doing what celebrity women do, which is wear a hat. And so we didn't really realize it was her until she had walked away.
Is that a celebrity woman thing, a hat? I didn't know that was
I think all celebrities wear hats, don't they? To, like, make sure that you can't see that they're famous. Because you can't see their hair or whatever.
I don't know. I seriously walk past people on the street who I think are famous and don't even recognize them sometimes.
When I see celebrities who are just like me and you in In Touch magazine, they're usually wearing hats. I saw one the other day when I was just like thumbing through an issue of it. I think at my parents' house. And there was like pictures of Colin Farrell getting a parking ticket. And it's like celebrities are just like me and you. And it's like pictures of Colin Farrell like clearly cussing out a cop for giving him a fucking parking ticket.
You bloody wank. And it's the freeze frame of the shot.
You think when Colin Farrell gets a parking ticket or in trouble with the police fuck around with him. They're like, yeah, we knew you were going to do this because we have pre-crime.
He's like, that movie's 15 bloody years old. Actually, that's not his accent. He's Irish.
Yeah, I know, buddy. We just saw you in Bruges. In Bruges!
In bloody Bruges. Tosser.
Big news out of Vegas this week. besides the fact that the Golden Knights are cleaning up and cleaning out the bookmakers in Vegas.
They're betting on themselves?
Well, no. I mean, the fans are. there's all the ESPN had an article on it. Others have done articles on it on how much. It was a situation where if you bet $100 on every Vegas home game on the Knights so far this season, you'd be up $1,300.
That's it?
Well, keep in mind that as they keep winning, like, they become huge money line favorites.
What are they? What are they at home? They're like 18-3-1 or something, aren't they?
Yeah, but the problem is that you're getting incrementally a smaller return because the better their home record is, the less you're winning.
Yeah, but like at the beginning of the year, if you're betting 100, it's probably whatever. Who cares? Okay, so they're winning a ton of money, is what you're saying.
And people are getting cleaned out. They're going to beat their over under for the season in points and wins. So it's a pretty great story. But here's the story we want to talk about.
Yes.
This is from Steve Karp of the Las Vegas Review-Journal. The Golden Knights' success has brought an enormous spike in popularity among fans. They regularly pack the team's City National Arena for practices and congregate outside the players' parking lot seeking autographs and photos. But the sizable crowds – and the times I went to their practice facility, it was fucking probably about 1,000 fans. Like, it's a lot of people there.
That's a lot for practice.
It was a lot of people.
I'm talking about practice.
Sizable crowds have become a safety concern for the Knights, who recently instituted an autograph policy to control traffic inside and outside the facility. Camping out by the parking lot is no longer allowed. In addition, fans can only receive autographs inside the rink in a designated area by the player benches.
Mm-hmm.
And there is an age restriction that only those 14 and under are allowed access to the players. So an age restriction on who can get autographs.
Are they checking these kids' IDs? You look 15, you can't have an autograph.
You probably have to check the older gentleman's IDs, right?
Well, I don't know. If it's only at the practice facility, I guess it's fine, because like if there's a million people there, you don't want to have the guys stand there for an hour after practice signing autographs. But at the same time, it's like, let's say you're a dude and you're one of those dudes who's like, he hangs out. Like, you've seen these guys at the team hotels. They wait for the players to show up when they're on the road and they get a bunch of autographs. Probably take them to eBay. They probably sell them to collectors. I mean, it's not my autograph, so it's probably easy for me to say. Because, like, when we leave the studio here, obviously, we sign for everybody who's waiting for us outside, right? Like, the kids, the adults. We don't care what they do with the signatures. So, I don't know. Like, if that's, like, your job and you're making some money off of that, as long as you're not cutting off a kid... I don't know. But then again, I'm assuming players must have complained about this. Otherwise, it wouldn't be a thing. So maybe it is bothering them.
I think the issue for me would be, like, if I was a player, is like you get through the practice facility, you got a bunch of people there, you're glad handing and meeting, and then you go to your car in the parking lot. And the lot's just there. I mean, it's not as if like you can't – it's not like it's an underground garage or anything, and as it is in some other places. Getting hounded outside by people too.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, man. Like I go back and forth on the autograph seekers thing. I find it creepy when grown men are camped out at the airport with giant binders of things for people to sign.
The binders, yeah.
Like, it is binders of women.
Binders full of men whose pictures need signatures.
Like, I find it to be kind of creepy and then you see the same people outside the hotel where the players are staying at.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what it's for. I think the creepy part about it is that you know what it's for. There's a guy in that story who talks about, like, he was trying to get an autograph poster of every player on the Knights for, like, his own edification.
For, like, his basement or something.
Yeah, and like, that's noble. And so – but the problem is that it's hard to differentiate between that guy and the guy who is now turning around and being like, I just got Johnny Gaudreau's autograph. eBay, here I go.
But, like, I don't have a problem with that guy.
You don't have a problem with that guy?
I mean, like, it's an autograph. It's not like they're stealing from Johnny Gaudreau's wallet and putting money in their pocket.
But you understand that those guys are kind of the reason why teams do this shit. And the Knights, to their credit, are obviously trying to rectify it and break the wall down a little bit so the kids can get the autographs. But, like, players become more hesitant to do this shit. Because they don't know who the person is they're signing for and what it's being used for.
Right, but like, what do they care? Like, give me the argument against fans selling it on eBay. Like, what's the drawback for the player or the team?
I guess the drawback for the player is that you want to spend your time signing for people where this is going to mean something to them.
It does mean something. That guy's paying his rent, maybe.
No, exactly. What I'm
right. No, but I'm just saying.
It means something fiscally to these people, but it doesn't mean anything. Like, I'm meeting my hero, I'm getting his autograph, versus I'm meeting this guy and getting his autograph and turning around and I'm paying my rent.
That's a little egotistical. I'm only signing for people that think I'm their hero. Like, I don't know. Like, if I make $8 million a year and some guy's, like, be able to pay his rent because I signed something for him. Great. What do I care?
Wait, you think a player should be like, I'm happy I'm helping out this guy make money off my name?
But like it's not like it's,
what are they, an NCAA football player?
but this is the thing too, is like people get yelled at when they go to autograph sessions and they're charging like $20 an autograph. Doesn't that feel shitty too when they do that?
Well, I always assume that that's sort of at the point where
like Pete Rose.
You're supplementing your post-playing days income with that stuff. Mm. Like when I go to Comic-Con and see someone who's currently on a television show charging $85 for a photograph.
Right, Comic-Con, exactly.
I think it's horseshit. But when I see someone who was, you know, who operated the Snai Snoodles puppet in Return of the Jedi.
That's okay.
In Jabba's band. Then I'm like, yeah, get the $5 for that autograph.
I don't know. I see both sides. Like, if a player's like, I don't want to do it, like, whatever, it's fine. But if, like, a guy... It's like, I don't care. Take my autograph and go get $50 for it on eBay. Great. You know?
But yeah, don't you think, though, like the point of...
You'd rather sign for the kid,
you
for sure.
You would much rather sign for the
of
kid.
Of course.
And if you've got most of these autograph seekers are mountainous. If you've got a mountain of men between you and the kids, then you could see what the problem is, right?
Right. Like if like there's kids going home that are super sad because like some dude with a binder with like 45 different Marc-Andre Fleury cards cut them off. Like, right. yeah, that's bad. I get that aspect of it. But like the idea that like a guy should never sell someone's autograph, whatever. Who cares? Make some money.
Richard Deitch has a media podcast for Sports Illustrated, and it's quite good. But I'm mentioning it here on the show because I was both – impressed and insulted in one fell swoop on this podcast this week.
On this podcast or the Deitch podcast?
He had on Neil Best, our friend from Newsday,
mm-hmm.
and he had on John Oran from Sports Business Daily. And they were talking about the death of Red Fisher. R.I.P. Red Fisher,
mm-hmm.
A legend in the business and one of several men named Red
mm-hmm.
who used to write in the 1950s and 40s.
Red.
They were the question of who is the most famous current American hockey writer came up, and they were all baffled as they could not think of one. And then John Orand, to his credit, said, "I don't know, Puck Daddy." So
Ryan Lambert, congratulations to Ryan Lambert. I've always said Ryan's great. I'm glad to see him finally get some recognition.
This was awkward for me, as I am no longer writing for Puck Daddy.
Yeah.
I am. Referred to at times as Puck Daddy, but I don't even have own the name Puck Daddy.
It's like if Michael Keaton was walking around and they were like, "That's Batman."
Yeah,
and then like you know,
there's now
George
there's other
Clooney
Batman.
Or Val Kilmer, right?
Yeah,
like right now Ryan Lambert is the, I guess you're Adam West, so I guess he'd be Michael Keaton right now, right? He's the second in the line.
Yeah,
or are you Michael Keaton and he's Val Kilmer?
And he's like, and they're like, "Hey, Batman," to me, I'm like, "Nah, Mr. Mom will suffice." So he said Puck Daddy, and then Deitch goes, "Oh, he's like, yeah, you know, maybe Greg Wyshynski, but you know, doesn't count here because he's Canadian."
Oh. Oh my God!
So in one fell swoop,
oh my God.
I get mentioned on a major media podcast as being potentially the most famous hockey writer in America. I get mentioned as. My former employer's blog, and then I get called Canadian. Yeah, I know.
Wow. Well, Richard Deitch has his thumb on the pulse of sports media. Clearly,
I DM'd him, and it's fine. He said he's been corrected by at least 10 people.
Between this and the hockey news thing, like you are really getting dragged.
Oh, I'm getting dragged by media now.
Oh,
like,
my goodness.
The minute I go to ESPN, like now everybody's just shitting on me. Off the most influential list. Can't even being called Canadian on American podcast.
That was also part of one of the Patreon exit interviews that I was talking about. Somebody mentioned you went to ESPN. Not that he's changed since ESPN. It was just.
It's so fucking weird.
Like we should do like a Coke Pepsi taste test where like we take something you wrote for Yahoo and take something you've written for ESPN and then be like, which one do you think? Which one? Yeah.
Yeah. I can't.
Nobody would know.
I can't explain it.
Poor guy.
It's the worst. I tweeted out something about the ESPN on Ice podcast this week on Twitter, and where else would I tweet it out? And
tweeted out on Facebook.
And they're like, it was about like a Matt Barzell interview. Mm-hmm. And then somebody wrote back, well, you know, this is great, but, you know, yes, I'm not, but ESPN doesn't cover hockey. I'm like, but we.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hall of Fame and drugs.
Hall of Fame and drugs. Two of my favorite, well, one of my favorite things.
Luckily, in the Hockey Hall of Fame, no one really gives a shit about who's on drugs and who wasn't on drugs, because as long as the old white men that are voting on the Hall mm-hmm. of Fame like them as individuals, they'll get in.
I still picture that picture from like the list of the people who vote. Like literally, it was just 30 white guys with old white hair.
Oh yeah,
I just couldn't believe it.
And if you were nice, well, he was a nice boy. Or, Eric was a troubled lad, but then he became a nice boy after he retired with all the conkies he had.
Conkies.
Baseball Hall of Fame's got some issues, man. Like, once again, we get a vote in the Baseball Hall of Fame. What was it? Tomey, Larry Chipper Jones, mm-hmm. and Vlad Guerrero get in.
One other guy, too, right?
Was it one more thing?
There were four people this year, weren't there?
Bonds, Clemens don't get in. I know your feelings on this. How do you feel about the drug guys not getting in?
Fuck them. I don't care.
Wait, why though? How can we unequivocally say that any player who played in the steroid era was clean? Just because they didn't get caught.
So because a few people did it, you assume they all did it.
I assume they all did it.
See, that's why is that okay?
Because I'm just saying that if we assume they all did it, then Clemens and Bonds are two of the best of that era and should be in the Hall of Fame.
Trevor Hoffman, that was the
guy. Oh, it's Trevor Hoffman, okay.
Who apparently people are now saying Billy Wagner was better than him. Fucking God, New York people. I mean, I honest to God, like, I know I say I don't care a lot. Like, I don't fucking care. Like, it's the vote.
But if you don't care, then they should be in, right?
I mean, either way, they don't get in, they get in. Like, my feeling is like, okay, I'm old enough to have watched all of Barry Bonds' career, all of Roger Clemens' career. Whether or not they get their faces inside a building somewhere I'm never going to go doesn't change how much I enjoyed watching them play. You know what I mean? Like, watching Barry Bonds was a delight. Watching Roger Clemens, even when he was all steroided up, was fun.
I think
fun.
It's just one of those situations where I really have a fucking problem with the holier-than-thou thing going on. That's the thing I don't like.
But I get it, because like those guys, especially Clemens, like Clemens was fucking falling apart, and then they traded into Toronto, and he was like, ooh, steroids, and he became fucking awesome again because of that.
Level up.
Like Barry Bonds is different because like Barry Bonds was Barry Bonds.
Barry
like,
Bonds was the best left fielder in baseball
forever.
Back when he weighed 220 pounds.
Right, and then, well, he was more like 140, and then all of a sudden he became 220.
His head became 230.
It's fine. Again, like I just hate the fact that like, I hate the rash, like it's just that the voting process is great because it's you can see it, it's transparent, but the idea that like you get a ballot with like 30 names on it and you can pick 10 guys, like 10 guys, like I mean it's supposed to be the Hall of Fame, like the idea that like, and I saw like a story that's like, well, it sucks because like I would have voted for Edgar Martinez, but I could only vote for 10 guys. If he's the 11th best guy on the list, maybe he's not a Hall of Famer. And then there's also people who say things like, I didn't vote for him this year because for a first ballot guy, I want to have a higher standard. I'll vote for him next year. He's either a Hall of Famer today,
right,
or he's a Hall of Famer tomorrow. He's not playing anymore. So you have these insane rationales people have. Like, I just say, fuck it. Like, I watch Edgar Martinez. He's a fantastic hitter. He gets in the Hall of Fame or not, I don't care.
Right.
If he cares, you know, that's his business. But fuck.
I think Bonds and Clemens belong. I hate the idea of voters being sanctimonious about this shit because no one knows anything. No one knows.
But they know about those guys.
They know about those guys.
Right.
They don't know anything about the other guys that played in the same era that obviously had the chance to gain a competitive advantage and probably used it, and we'll just never know. That's the era.
It was
a lax testing era in baseball. They allowed a lot of shit to go down. And frankly, here's my biggest problem with all this shit. Steroids saved baseball. There are two things that saved baseball after the strike.
Bud Selig being in the Hall of Fame is stupid.
Two things that saved baseball.
Yeah.
The Yankees dynasty.
Ugh.
Truth, come on. You know it did.
Saved baseball.
Making the Yankees.
Did you see the ratings for the Yankee-Met World Series? Nobody fucking cares.
No one cares about the Mets.
No one cares about the Yankees either.
What was the ratings for the Yankees-Red Sox series?
I don't think it was
great.
The
Yankees dynasty helped save baseball, but more than anything else, fucking steroids saved baseball.
Home runs saved baseball. The Yankees didn't.
And to see the same baseball writers that were just jizzing all over McGuire's fucking locker during the home run race that saved the fucking sport.
Boy, the image of Mike Lupica ejaculating in a baseball locker room.
Exactly.
I didn't need that.
Turn around and be sanctimonious about the steroid era is just horseshit.
But I don't think it's sanctimony.
They all fucking made bank writing books. They all worshiped the sport. And now they're like, oh, who knew? Oh, I don't know. We all did about fucking Sosa. We all knew. So the idea that we're going to now be sanctimonious and like not vote these guys in, it's just utter horseshit.
See, like, but that's like confirmation bias. Like, you know how like when some person you don't like in the world gets in trouble for something, and you're like, I knew it. You didn't know it. It just confirms
any of that in the last several months.
That's what I mean. But like Sammy Sosa, Mark McGuire, Barry Bonds, like Rafael Palmeiro. I never would have guessed he was on steroids unless he got caught.
Sammy Sosa, come on. Based on the numbers,
I mean, have you seen Aaron Judge? Do you think Aaron Judge is on steroids? He's bigger and stronger than everybody else in baseball. Yeah,
but I'm a Mets fan.
Yeah, see,
I'm not saying anything. I'm not a Canadian journalist. I think those guys are mostly the ones that just like always are pointing fingers and saying Batista's on steroids. Prove it. Oh, I can't, but I'm pretty sure.
Right, like Jose Bautista was a terrible baseball player for years, then became a 40, 50, 60 home run guy.
But he is now,
and no one's proven he's taking steroids.
In an era with better testing. With more testing, where they actually give a shit about it.
Oh, yeah. You can't possibly get anything past anybody
but,
now.
But it's much different than the sort of laissez-faire, lax standards that they had when those guys were all hitting home runs. I just think it's horseshit. Clemens and Bonds should be in the Hall of Fame a billion times.
I'm fine if you don't want to vote Clemens or Bonds in. But, like, it's just – I don't get the anger on the other side of it where people are like, you have to do it. Like –
Oh, well, that's because I'm as sanctimonious as those people are when it comes to the things I believe in.
It's like bizarro sanctimonious stuff where you're just like, well, hang on a sec. I don't know. I just – like I'm trying to think of like an example in hockey because apparently no one in hockey except for like Antoine Vermette and two other guys have ever done PEDs.
Well, yeah, there's no PEDs, but everybody's on, you know –
everyone's on blow.
Amphetamines and uppers and downers and shit.
The Hall of Fame is weird to me. Like it's just so weird that we honor individuals in team sports, you know? Like, baseball's a little different because, like, it's basically a one-on-one sport. It's right. You against the pitcher every time. But, like, I don't know. Like, to me, like, we should just have museums. And then there's, like, a ride. And the ride takes you through everything. You can learn about the history. You know, you can learn about, like, Jackie Robinson, the first player to break the color barrier. And then we come to this. And there's Babe Ruth's hot dog in 1920 or whatever. And you go all the way through and you get to the end. And it's 2018.
To the same vendor on the corner every day for his hot dogs.
We have computers. You can go to a computer in any building now and like just learn about players.
Yeah.
You don't need to have their fucking bronze busts in there to know that they were great. You can look up how many MVPs they won, their stats, their numbers.
I love the Hall of Fame. I would live in the Hall of Fame. Any Hall of Fame. I love it. I love the plaques. I love the etchings.
For Gretzky's gloves, Babe Ruth's bat, all that stuff. That's
great. You're saying you don't need that for validation.
Right. You don't need that for the one person. You know, right. like 80% of old dudes somewhere were like, this guy is a Hall of Famer. Like, I don't fucking care what those guys think. Like, I know. I watched the guy play. He was awesome.
It's funny how baseball writers are also talking about transparency. When real transparency would knowing exactly which two of these fucks voted for Kerry Wood to be in the Hall of Fame. Like, that'd be transparency.
How about Johan Santana is not on the ballot anymore? Not that he should be a Hall of Famer, but for like 6 years, he was the most dominant pitcher in the world.
Yeah.
He won the ERA title three times, strikeout title three years in a row.
I know it's glass houses, like for anybody who's in the Professional Hockey Writers Association to criticize any other voting body about what they do. But come on. Like, real transparency would be putting your name to the ballot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of people do it.
Yeah. So you can know exactly which two Chicago writers voted for Kerry Wood for the Hall of Fame.
He did strike out 20 that one game.
He certainly did. He also had 86 career wins.
That was a good day.
Other big sports news this week, non-hockey. The return of the XFL.
Is that big sports news?
2020, Vince McMahon's XFL will start again.
Who cares?
It is the first...
2020?
Yep, the first... They're going to get it right this time, buddy. The first season will have 8 teams around the country playing a 10-week schedule. The initial outlay of money is expected to be around $100 million, the same amount of WWE stock McMahon sold last month. A couple of other things, as reported by Darren Revelle of ESPN today, that according to McMahon, it's going to be a socially conscious organization. Mm-hmm.
People don't want social and political issues coming into play when they're trying to be entertained. What we want... Yeah, we want someone who wants to take a knee to do their version of that on their personal time.
Yeah, I know who this league's for, Greg. I'm aware.
McMahon said being the only owner of all the teams, so he's basically MLS, will allow him to do whatever he wants. I can say here are the rules, and as long as you are playing football in the stadium for us, you will follow these rules. One of the rules, he said, will be to preclude any player with a criminal record from playing in the league.
Jesus Christ.
Which, of course, would disqualify former Texas A&M quarterback Johnny Manziel.
Would that disqualify Vince McMahon? Has he ever been? I really don't know. Wait, has he been arrested for anything?
Trial? I don't know if he ever got. He got sent to jail. I think he might have gotten sent to jail.
Does he also realize that by 2020 we're going to be on some other thing we're going to be mad about? Like, we're not going to be mad about protesting during the anthem anymore. Like, that's going to be a completely different thing by 2020. That's stupid.
I think the only real interesting thing about this for me, because I expected to be a massive failure, because the thing about Vince McMahon and all this shit, like you pointed out today, I mean, it's clearly pitched to the disenfranchised Clay Travis listeners who don't like the NFL.
Right.
But you know what those people are? The vast fucking minority.
Right.
Because at the end of the day, when the Dallas Cowboys are in the NFC Championship game, guess who's watching that game? And guess who's now a Cowboy fan? And guess who doesn't give a shit about any of the social stuff? It's that guy.
It's so dumb.
Yeah.
Like, even if, like whatever ratings drop by this year, say it dropped by 10%, that's your audience.
Yeah.
Like, those are the people you're trying to get to all watch some other lesser form of football 4 years from now, or 2 years from now. Jesus, what year is it? 2018?
Yeah, 2 years from now.
All because just some guys take a knee during a time of the game. Like, that's the most amazing thing about the protest is, like, it's such a genius, smart, good protest where it gets the point across emphatically. And all it requires from you as a fan at home, because they don't show the anthem on TV anyway, ever. Yeah. Basically, they kick off, ball goes out of the end zone like it always does, and they say, hey, here's a little clip from the anthem. They show 10 seconds of like a thing they recorded where there's like a bunch of guys kneeling. That's it. 10 seconds. That's all it does for you. And because of that, you're going to go watch a Vince McMahon football league? What are you, a fucking idiot?
McMahon said, the start of this league has nothing to do with the NFL's troubles.
No.
What has happened there is their business, and I'm not going to knock those guys, but I am going to learn from their mistakes, as anyone would if they were tasked with reimagining a new football league. To me, the only fascinating thing about this is how they're going to deliver the content. Like, NBC and Vince McMahon partnered to create the XFL in its first iteration when it failed. It was on NBC. It was promoted by NBC. It's one of the reasons why it failed is that ESPN didn't cover it like a real sport.
Like
they were
hockey.
Like, it's a sideshow.
Like hockey.
Because they didn't have a they didn't have a piece of it.
Yeah, it's hockey.
Vince McMahon's got his own cable network now. You have to pay to watch it, but he's got his own cable network.
Does he? What's it? What is it?
The WWE network.
Oh,
that's actually, dude, that's where they show all the pay-per-views now. You don't buy a pay-per-view anymore. You buy the network to watch the pay-per-views.
So he's probably hoping that all of his wrestling fans are going to
right. So I'm saying that he's got a place to put these games, but not all the games. But it's a much different media landscape now than it was back then. Now you've got Amazon. Now you've got Facebook. Now you've got Twitter. Now you've got all these other places looking for content, especially Amazon.
There's too much content.
Maybe in the business of buying the rights to the XFL and putting it on. So I find it to be really interesting to see how they're going to put this on the air and how they're going to deliver games to fans. And also, if it's more straight-laced, will people care? Like, part of the appeal of the XFL last time was all the nonsense to it. The two guys running at each other for the ball in the middle of the field.
That was actually interesting.
Yeah. I mean, like, all the weird shit was interesting. And then when the ratings went down, NBC's like, stop making it so fucking weird.
What, so it's going to be the same deal? They're going to run it like during the football off season, like in the summer months, I guess, right?
I don't see an announcement there of when it's going to run.
My
guess is that it would have to. It can't compete with the NFL.
Like, my guess is, no, I was going to say it never actually comes to fruition. Like, it just the NFL pays it money to go away and it never happens. But it'll probably happen. But
over the next couple months, the league will announce 8 cities expected to be large and medium-sized markets where teams will play. Names will follow, yada, yada, yada. And I'm not quite sure when it's going to run.
Can we talk about Philadelphia now?
Yeah, let's do it.
So Philadelphia, in terms of being a sports town, it's look, I get it. There's bad fans everywhere. Like, Philly's the worst. It is.
What prompted this, considering we just did a very successful show in Philly? We met some lovely people.
It's because...
You seem to be turning heel on them.
Because it's like, I want... Like, Patriots fans, for instance, they lean into everything. They're like, you guys love a team that loves Trump and blah, blah. They're just like, yeah, we're assholes. We accept it. Like, in Philly, a guy punches a horse cop. Everyone's like, not a horse cop, like a horse that's actually a cop. It's a cop horse.
Right.
And people are like, ah, every city's got, but not every city has that. Like, and here, I'm going to prove it to you. I'm going to prove to you that Philly is just different when it comes to its own type of bad fans, which again, every city has, but Phillies are they're special. They're different. I want you to close your eyes for a second. I want you to imagine the Minnesota Vikings playing in the NFC title game against any other team. Any team.
Okay.
Just get a team in your head. It could be Washington, the Giants, San Francisco, whoever. They're playing that team, and the other team wins. Minnesota loses. Now, I want you to picture the fans celebrating in that city after the game.
Okay.
Is anybody holding a fuck Millie sign? No.
No.
That's Philly. And again, I get it. That's not every fan. That's just whatever. But like... The idea that like everybody always wants to just be like, oh, it's just a couple of bad apples, but yeah, but your bad apples are way worse than everyone else's bad apples, and you have like there's never gonna be a thing where like in Chicago somebody gets kicked out of Wrigley Field for vomiting on a child intentionally. Like that's just Philly. Philly has Philly's got bad fans. New York has bad fans, but Philly's bad fans are worse than everybody else's bad fans. Right? Come on.
I agree with you, and I think the important thing here is that
it's not everybody. But I think
your point is well taken, which is that the usual response from Philly fans is that, but every city's like that. And as a Jets fan, I agree.
They're shitty Giants fans.
We had to cut off alcohol sales at some point in the game to get guys to stop asking girls to lift their shirts, and then when they don't, they throw beer at them or whatever. Like that's the shitty behavior that exists at Jets games. But I would say to your point, The worst of the worst.
Is worse than any other.
The Suicide Squad
yes.
of Philadelphia fans.
Right.
The worst of the worst are worser than any other fan base in America.
And I just want people to be like, yeah, you're right. Especially this week. Everyone's on Philadelphia's side. I'm on Philadelphia's side.
Yeah.
I want Philly to beat the Patriots. Kind of. I'm still on the fence, I think. Mm-hmm. I want the Eagles to win. But the, like, yeah, you guys threw batteries at J.D. Drew. You cheered Santa. You cheered Michael Irvin possibly there being paralyzed.
Yeah, everybody brings up the Santa. Yeah, that's we all bring up the Santa Claus thing because the shit happened.
No, but it's funny because like people always do that. They go, everybody always brings up the, and it's always like nine different things as their example of like, right, you know what I mean? It's like everyone always brings up Santa Claus. Everyone always brings up this. Everyone always, it's like, yeah.
Everybody always brings up this guy getting punched in the face. Everybody brings up that assault at the cheesesteak place.
There was a report about the Vikings-Eagles parking lot where they said it was like Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome. That's just
no, but
I'm just saying lean
I think
into
that's
it.
Kind of like what NFL parking lots are becoming though. Like I mean we have fucking Bills fans throwing themselves through flaming tables like they're
Giants
waving at Sandman and ECW.
Giants tailgates are boring as hell. I've gone to like 100. I've never seen anything cool once.
Yeah, they take their cues from their quarterback.
Like I've tailgated with you son of a bitch. I've tailgated with Gary Clark from the Redskins twice.
What?
He just hangs out in the parking lot sometimes. Yeah.
Wow.
Gary Clark, Ricky Sanders and Art Monk.
That's right. Gary Art Monk. Clark. How could you forget Art Monk, former Jet?
He was the best one.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. And I know that Philly fans, and they're so fucking temperamental about this. It's like the worst among you are the worst among us.
That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying you're all walking around with fuck Millie signs, but there's no other city in the world where after you beat the Vikings, you would taunt 100-year-old ladies about losing their team's losing.
Or punch a horse.
Was it two horses? Was it two separate ones? Because I think one happened like the week before and then it happened again at the Minnesota game. Like what? A horse? Why would you punch a horse? You're never going to win that.
That said, the video of the Viking fans walking through the Eagles parking lot and chronicling all the horrible things that are being said to them. Don't walk around the Eagles parking lot in a Minnesota jersey with a camera phone held up.
Pointing at Eagles fans being like, you guys are dicks. Or you're going to get fucked up, but I'm not going to feel bad for you.
It reminds me of my favorite thing that ever happened to be at a Yankee game. I'm even a Yankee fan, but I went with my best friend to go to I've told the story before. The San Diego World Series against the Padres. So it's the Yankees-Padres at Yankee Stadium. We're in the bleachers. And this woman in a Padres jersey, Padres hat, Padres all this shit, stands up. And she's like, yeah, I'm right here. Yeah, I'm in the bleachers. Hey, everybody, say hi. And it was like a fucking brewery was thrown at her.
Yeah,
the amount of beer that was thrown at this woman.
Yeah.
And again, like, don't Just be smart, be safe, everybody.
Like, if you're walking around trying to find the worst Eagles fans on camera, like, that's different. But, yeah. Like, going to a store and being like, all right, I need a king-size sheet and a can of spray paint because there's this 100-year-old woman in Minnesota who I'm going to fucking own after this game. That's just weird and cruel.
Our question of the day, our question of the week was... Which NHL person, I didn't want it to just be players... Which NHL person do you think would be most likely to eat a Tide Pod?
We got a lot of answers.
As expected to be fan-fucking-tastic. So.
Tide Omi was funny.
Tide Omi was really funny. Bobby Gottfried says, gotta be Briz. I don't know if that's necessarily true.
I don't know. Would I eat the detergent Tide Pod if someone put it in front of me and tell you, that is delightful Russian candy? And I would look at it and say, perhaps it is Russian candy. We have many varieties, but mostly they come and they taste like vodka. They come inside of little dolls that you take apart and find the candy in the doll.
You see that one tweet where it was like, you know why only the ladies eat the Tide Pods?
Why?
Because they deter gents.
Oh, my God.
Detergents.
Benny says, based on play, every Buffalo Sabre outside of Eichel and Kane. And when either of those two score, Rick Jenneret's goal call would be, top shelf, where mama hides the Tide Pods. this is from Paul Vechkin. Chiarelli eats one as a condition on a trade sending Oscar Clefbaum to Toronto for Leo Komarov. Oh, the Oilers are in such bad shape. They're going to fire McClellan, don't you think? Like, they're going to make that. I feel like it's gotten to the point where they're going to have to do the clean sweep after the season.
I can't believe no coach has been fired yet still this year.
Well, I was talking about that with somebody the other day, but like a lot of the shitty teams this year were shitty last year too and have new coaches.
Yeah, it's weird how like it all, like the only guys that could be fired, I think, are, yeah, McClellan, like Joel Quenneville maybe.
Boucher, but like, why do it now? Like, the worse you are, the better it's
you can't fire Boucher after they went to the conference finals overtime.
It's final.
There's McClellan.
Boucher is also my Daniel Brühl impression from Burnt.
The Alienist is bad, by the way.
Is it bad? I haven't seen it yet.
It's a show that's probably too edgy and graphic to be on TNT because like they have to soften it because it's on TNT. And also the stories. I want to see a show or a movie that's like set in like old-timey America where there's like the old-timey cop. And there's not a scene where it's like clearly the cops on the take. We all know the cops are on the take in 1857. We don't need a scene that sets that up. Like, just go on.
Sorry. I am the Alienist. Tom Ertz Jr. says Henrik Lundqvist because he's sick of this nonsense in front of him.
Yeah, there's a couple of people that like treated it like they were taking like poison. Like, that's it, I'm out.
Panda writes in, John Tortorella would, and then he would hold a press conference blaming the Penguins for it. That's pretty great. The Adam Stevens writes in, the obvious answer is Tim Thomas because he doesn't believe the liberal media is telling us the truth about pods. An excellent choice there. A lot of people said Lucic, and so on and so forth.
Yeah, there's like 190 answers here.
A lot of people said Brent Burns would probably do it.
I don't think Brent Burns is dopey. Oh, did you watch PK Subban? Speaking of guys that wear suits that have like plaid on them, you watch him on the Daily Show?
I did.
It was pretty good.
The TV cut is different than the cut that's online, as is the case with a lot of these interviews.
I watched it online.
They actually talk about more hockey on the online version than they did. The actual show is much more, much like, I think the first thing he says is the $10 million donation thing on their on-air interview.
I was going to say, because it's like an 11-minute thing on combo.
It got down to like five or four. But like, so sucks. More hockey talk online. The one thing I thought was really funny was when Trevor Noah's PK's like, yeah, I played for the Montreal Canadiens. Trevor Noah's like, what an uncreative name.
It's really literal. The joke too about the $10 million, and he was like, did you just put an extra zero on the end by accident and just not want to go back on it? Like, I could see how that could happen. Yeah, but like, I watched it online, so I thought that was actually a good interview for the NHL, but now that you're telling me like there's not really too much hockey talk.
The interview online was a great interview for the NHL. The interview on air was a great interview for PK.
Yeah.
Dustin Penner says Terry Thomas, if you tell him they're pancakes. a lot of people, you know what's funny? Like, the great answers on this one are the people that completely believe that they're right. Like someone writes, Drew Doughty, hands down, end of story, is totally going to eat a Tide Pod. My choice would probably be Corey Perry. And I'm like, there's no doubt in my mind that Corey Perry would be the guy who would eat a Tide Pod.
Like, this one guy says Tyler Seguin. And he'd be like my 200th choice probably to eat a Tide Pod. Mm. David Booth. Mark Bergevin. It would be the most well thought out decision he's made in years.
Mark Brian says Mitch Marner because I'm still not sure if he was ever one of those Vine stars. See, younger guys think are the choices that would probably do something for shits and giggles on social.
Oh, like a Logan Paul bit.
Yeah. As is tradition, says Steve Dangle. You wouldn't mind that, would you?
Steve Dangle?
Yeah, would probably eat the Tide Pod.
As a bit? Yeah, I guess you'd do it as a bit. Mm-hmm. So, see, that's the thing. Is like, are you doing it as a bit? Are you doing it because you're dumb? Are you doing it because you want to end your life, apparently?
Yeah.
there's a lot of different motivations
here. There's a lot of reasons why you might pop one in your mouth. Also sustenance.
Does Sidney Crosby like Tide Pods?
It's a perfect amount of detergent, you know, so you don't have to do any measuring or use that big unwieldy cup on top of the detergent bottle, you know. So, self-contained, easy to use. I like Tide Pods.
A lot of people said Taylor Hall. I genuinely don't think I get why people think Taylor Hall's stupid.
He's an idiot.
But like every time I've ever talked to him or heard him talk like at a scrum or anything, like
I don't think he's an idiot at all. Like
he seems very quick and clever and smart. Yeah,
he's really clever. He's really funny and he's got a lot of shit to say.
People said this about Jeff Carter too for the longest time, and then I spent the day with him after they won the Stanley Cup, and like he was the nicest, funniest, easygoing guy. Like he just wasn't. Never came. Like there's plenty of dudes who you've talked to in this league where you're like that guy's a fucking idiot. Like I've never once. I don't know. It's weird. You get to know people. Like, Zach Ronaldo's an idiot.
Yeah.
He's not smart.
You're like, Jeff, what do you want to do today? Like, get a hamburger or something? I thought we could maybe, like, talk about the socioeconomic policies that led to the refugee crisis, but, I mean, hamburger's good, I guess.
Yeah, but meanwhile, people imagine it's like, you want to get a hamburger, and then, like, he just eats a brick. Like, you know what I mean? Like, like he's not that guy. I don't know. It's weird.
A brick of what? All right. Well, that's for this week. I'm at Wyshynski on Twitter. You could listen to my other podcast with Emily Kaplan. ESPN on Ice is the name of it. And
why is it called On Ice? Oh, I get it.
Because I told you the story because I couldn't get the name that I wanted.
ESPN on
ESPN
cocaine.
Covers hockey. Oh, was going to be the name of it. You do your bit, and I have one more thing to say in a sec.
All right. So I'm going to stall for you so you can do your bit. I want to thank everybody for listening. I want to thank everybody for checking out our stuff. I want to thank everybody for giving us the 5 stars. I want to thank people for clicking on my stuff. And leave a review or don't. I don't know. I still don't understand how that helps or hurts, but I think it helps if you do it and it's good, right?
It's good to do that. It's good to give feedback to people.
I think I'd rather you tell other people about the podcast as opposed to just leaving a comment that only Greg's going to read because it's too hard to scroll all the way down now to find the fresh ones because the way they do it.
There's a toggle on the desktop version where you can go to the most recent ones.
Oh, I never checked the desktop
version. Yeah, and you can get to the ones that are like, you know, for a hockey podcast, you certainly don't. Right.
You know what's funny is the negative ones are the ones that always crack me up more, like because it's always just like Condoleezza Rice a murderer, you know?
That one kills me. That's a deep cut right there from our early days but of like, people not liking the podcast.
You have to scroll. I guess you can do it on the desktop, but you have to scroll all the way to the very bottom to find the 2-star and 1-star ones, and those ones, don't leave those if you don't mean them, but like they crack me up.
The thing I wanted to mention was Friday night, if you're listening to this podcast before Friday night, me and the folks at Raw Charge, the Lightning blog and SB Nation, are going to be doing a meetup 9 p.m. to midnight Friday night at Fly Bar and Restaurant on the rooftop, 1202 North Franklin Street, Tampa, Florida, obviously.
You want to give the zip code too?
33602. That's actually the zip code. They listed it on the thing. It says Fly Bar, 9 p.m. I'll be there. I know Customs is supposed to show up. I know Joe Smith. The Lightning writer is going to be there too, and then a cast of thousands. So do check it out. It should be a lot of fun. We always have fun at those things. It's not like a podcast, so you don't have to buy tickets or nothing. It's just a bunch of us hanging out and talking hockey and what have you. So that should be a good time. So that's Friday the 26th, 9 p.m. to midnight at Fly Bar on the rooftop, the 2018 NHL All-Star Game Party hosted by Raw Charge. So do that. All right. That's it, everybody. Mailbag on the Patreon. Bonus episode on the Patreon. Do join the Patreon. Thank you to everybody. We are at 1,300 people who have subscribed each month.
Oh, do we want to announce the thing that we want to try and do, or do you want to do that on the Patreon?
We'll do it on the Patreon.
Okay, I'll do it on the Patreon.
Yeah, for sure.
Sorry, everybody.
All right. Thanks, everybody. We love you, and we'll talk to you next week. Bye.
See ya.
Sticks and hits and goals and saves and slap shots and goons. We've got sportly commentary to whatever commute. But we also cover movies, TV shows, hits, and tunes. It's your weekly bowl of hockey and nonsense. Part 2.